And now we'll have a reading from the New Testament, the book of Luke, as this will be the text today for the sermon. Luke chapter 10 at verse 1. Previously in chapter 9, Jesus sent out his 12 disciples. And now he's sending out a bigger group, and we think about the disciples of Jesus. At times we get a picture of a lot larger number of people. And now Jesus is going to send out 72 others. Now there's a variant reading as the manuscripts are compared, all the Greek manuscripts that scholars study, and different translations go different ways on this. It's a small matter, but there's uncertainty which is correct. Some translations will have 70 people sent out, and some will have 72. And how does this happen? Well, it happens when people are copying. And if you and I were in a copy house and someone would be reading, and you would be copying down the right words, and I would have had lunch, and I'm a little sleepy, and I kind of miss, I don't quite hear it right, and put down, so one put 70, one put 72. And so here we have the NIV translation 72. Hear God's word. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable in that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. I invite you to turn back in scripture to Luke chapter 10. Today the topic is God's harvest field. As Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. And so we're talking here about a spiritual harvest, and we will begin prayer. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit now to enable us to hear the things of God, the heart to receive it. Lord, we pray that the preaching be faithful. We ask, Lord, that we would learn, that we would be able to apply new things. Lord, we would pray that our life would be more like that of our Savior. And we ask that you would be our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Here we have the first great missionary effort during the earthly ministry of Jesus. There was an earlier missionary effort when Jesus and chapter 9, a chapter before this, called the 12 together, gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom of God, and heal the sick. So we are looking at the second then time Jesus sent out missionaries. Now, this is going to be greatly expanded after the time of Pentecost, when the church is going to go into all nations, baptizing and teaching them to obey what Christ has commanded. Here we have, if you can picture in your mind, 72 followers of Christ that Jesus is sending out to the various towns, two by two, because he's going to go there next, and they're going to bring the message and get ready for him, for his coming. Now, as we think about the work of the church here today, we see in many places a visible church is dying because it has no mission. There's no supernatural gospel. In many places, the church is dying because people are not receptive to the gospel. They have no God to thank when rain is sent during times of drought or when God provides for us in other ways. But here we see the mission of the church, and we need to obey Christ. This is his plan for the church. We need to obey him by being ambassadors and also by being supportive of missionaries. Our Lord said that the spiritual harvest is plentiful. If we were playing Bible trivia today and you would get this question, you know, what, finish a sentence, the Lord is, the harvest is plentiful, I would hope you could finish the whole thing, but the workers are few. And this is a concern quite often in the church. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So Jesus appointed 72 other disciples to bring his message to start the harvest work. And the message of the kingdom of God is what they take, along with the confirmation of healing the sick. In verse 9, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So if today we were going to have you answer the question, what is the kingdom of God? I hope you could do it quite easily. I hope you could give a good explanation. If anyone would ask you today, what is the kingdom of God? Because it's talked about all the time in the New Testament. It's in many sermons of Jesus. Well, the king, who's the king? Well, the king is Jesus. He's the king. And what did he come to do? He came to rule in the hearts of his people. And what does this require? Well, it requires a new birth. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless you're born again, unless you're born from above, you'll not see the kingdom of God. And it requires a new nature. It requires repentance. In other words, turning from sin. And the kingdom of God, it brings blessing to God's people. This is what we want. We don't want to live in a government, under a government that rules badly, that's corrupt and wicked. Well, the kingdom of God is far above any good earthly kingdom that we can know. And we need that. And it's a petition of the Lord's Prayer that we have every Sunday. Your kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, the catechism tells us that it means in part the devil's work is going to be destroyed, as we see in our passage. The devil's work is going to be destroyed in the lives of people. And we're going to see the good things that God has promised, the removal of sin, the removal of the curse, the removal of sickness, the removal of death, all that. Part of the kingdom of God that we're looking forward to more and more. So Jesus said, you're to preach the kingdom of God is near you. That's the message that the church has. And they were to go to the various towns ahead of Jesus. He appointed 72 others, sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And then they were to pray for more workers for the harvest field. If you've been in the harvest field, you know that it's great to have more help. And here, of course, was a very primitive time. You did not have the big combines. It was all done by hand. And the harvest, I'm sure, at many times was daunting. It had to be gotten in. People had to get to work. And so wouldn't it be great to have more workers? In our day, at times, some farmer might get ill or maybe an accident, and farmers come together and harvest the neighbor's field. Maybe five or six combines, or, you know, all of a sudden it's over. Well, this is what's needed for the kingdom of God also, more workers in the church, more officers, people willing to serve as officers, more people willing to share their gifts, more pastors. There's even a shortage of pastors today. And we need to pray as a church that God would send people that would have that interest, that concern to gather people for the harvest. And we're to have the Lord's perception of the harvest field, his way of looking at it. I'm tempted at times to look at where I live and think of it as a pretty small pond to fish in. And I see people come to town sometimes that aren't interested in the community even, especially not in church. But Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. And so this needs to be our attitude and encouragement as we think about work in the church. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the harvest work is to bring the message of Jesus with great urgency. We see in verse, of course, if you're in the harvest field, you got to get to work. You got to get it done. And Jesus said in verse 3, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. So we see, if you're going to do the work is going to have some dangers. If you're going to go out like sheep among wolves, you have to understand there's going to be hardships. And in verse 3, we see this proclamation of Jesus. So nobody should be surprised about that. But the urgency is in his command. Do not greet anyone along the road. We find this a couple of times in the work of the prophets in the Old Testament. At one point, Elisha says to his servant, as they get word that a little boy died, he said, I want you to run and take my staff and lay it on the boy's face. And if you meet anyone, don't greet him. If anyone greets you, don't answer. In other words, you don't have time to talk. Get going. And so Jesus here is given that instruction. And we see the urgency. And he tells us that the people of the towns will provide the needed support. In Luke 10, verse 4, do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. So today, we're going to leave on a trip. And I have to tell you, we've taken everything. All the accessories. When you get older, you need more accessories. And we're going to take money and credit cards. And this is just the opposite of what the people were told with Jesus as he sends them out on his orders. When they go to a house, the house was receptive. If the house offered hospitality, the person receiving the hospitality was to say, peace to this house. And that God would bring blessing to this house. At times when people have shown me hospitality, I've been invited to people's homes and asked to offer prayer. I often include that because that is very appropriate to pray for someone who's showing you Christian hospitality. And Jesus said, the reason you don't have to take anything is because the worker is deserving of his wages. Verse 7. Stay in that house, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. Now, it's interesting as you look at this statement here by our Lord, the worker deserves his wages. At least a dozen times in the Old and New Testament, it gives instruction to the people of God that if somebody works for you, if somebody does work for you, that you pay him what's right and you pay him in a timely way. If it's a day worker, you pay him at the end of the day. And of course, in that society, the wealthy people would have had a great advantage as to when, what they paid and so forth. But in the Old and New Testament, this is repeated. And this is a great concern that I've had with people working for me, that I don't shortchange them. Because in my past growing up, and I assume with a number of you, you've been on the other end of that. And Jesus says at this point, the worker deserves his wages. And I think of that with our missionaries. We need to be supportive of them. And we find churches today that their mission work has actually totally crumbled. Because in one sense, they have no message to take, and there's no interest in supporting them. But the worker deserves his wages. And the worker is given instruction too. And when he comes to town, if somebody says, you come stay at my house, and you go there, you stay in the first house that offers hospitality. In other words, you don't upgrade. You don't go with somebody who says, hey, you know what, I got a nicer house. No, you go to the first person, and you don't insult them by going elsewhere. And we're also told in verses 7 and 8 that the person is to stay in that house eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. That you're to eat what is set before you. And I did have a fun moment a number of years back when we had a very opinionated missionary who was very bold, and he was at our house, and we had a very standard meal, but he kind of pushed back on something that he didn't particularly like, and I said, hey, you know, what about this verse? I didn't have to look it up because I knew it. You know, when you go to that house, you eat what is set before you. Well, it was a fun moment as he grappled with that, but that's a responsibility too. When you go to a person's house and they're offering you Christian hospitality, that you are very polite and appreciative. We have also a warning here regarding the message being rejected, and it was rejected by people that were receiving the most ministry of Jesus. There are three towns that are mentioned here: Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Now, this would be like on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And if you would take a pencil and draw a line to these three cities, you would have a triangle, and this is called the Evangelical Triangle, where something like 85% of the recorded ministry of Jesus occurred in this area. So they had a huge blessing to be so familiar with what Jesus is doing. But it didn't do them any good because they didn't receive him. And so Jesus talks about these cities where he's been working that haven't received him. Now these disciples, these 72, are going out to more villages. And he's saying, well, in many places, your message isn't going to be welcomed. And so he says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is said before you, heal the sick who are there, tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. So it'll certainly be the case that in some town, the messengers of Christ will not be welcomed. And when that happened, they were to take their shoes and knock the dust off their feet, saying, you know, I don't even want the dust of your town on me because I don't want to have that as something to be judged by God. And so here we're to be certain, we're to be sure and certain that the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. As you think about the gospel then coming to these towns that are going to be mentioned and the privileges that they had, also think about your life, what you know of the gospel and the privileges that you've had. And where have you heard sermons that were faithful, sermons that taught you the kingdom of God, that taught you the will of Christ? You can be sure and certain that the kingdom of God is near, that you've got the message. Now, how did you respond to it? Well, as we mentioned, these three cities now, woe to you, verse 13, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. And if you go to Israel, you can visit these places, and they are in ruins today, as is Capernaum. They are in ruins today, but at the time of Jesus, they were prosperous. Jesus said in verse 12, I tell you, it will be more bearable in that day for Sodom than for that town. That rejects any of the messengers of the 72 that rejected Jesus when he gave them hours upon hours of teaching and miracles, many experiences. He said to these two towns, Chorazin and Bethsaida, he said, the miracles have been performed in you, had been performed in the pagan cities on the seacoast of Lebanon, Tyre and Sidon, cities that are mentioned for their wickedness in the Old Testament. If they would have had what you had, they would have repented long ago. Their repentance would be so obvious, they would be dressed in sackcloth and ashes. It's going to be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. So when you hear the gospel, it's important you receive it. It's important that you accept it, because the kingdom of God is near you. And then Capernaum, Jesus' adopted hometown, his headquarters, the place where Peter had his house. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? Should be, after all that Jesus did for them. No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So we think about the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be more bearable for Sodom, more bearable for Tyre and Sidon. There will be a greater punishment for Chorazin and Bethsaida because of Christ's miracles, because he said, the miracles that were done in you. A greater punishment for Capernaum because of Christ's miracles and his teaching. Many of them listed in the Gospels. We see the warning there, and we have to consider the opportunities that you and I have had to respond to the gospel. Notice what Jesus said, he who listens to the messenger of the Lord listens to the Lord. He who rejects a messenger of the Lord is not rejecting a human person. He's rejecting the Lord who sent the messenger. These preachers come back and they're very excited because they've seen a great outcome. And they even saw the demons submitting to them, being sent out by them. And Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on the snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. They had great success. And they returned with joy. And so the success of the mission was certainly a cause for rejoicing. And whenever we see the church having great success, if you're a Christian, it is a time of thanking God and realizing that it's from him. Satan's power is curtailed by this. In verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us to your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So Jesus had this vision, if you will. I don't know what other word to call it. But he saw Satan's power was curtailed. He saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And he said, "I have given you authority to do this." And so we remember that all the authority for the work and the church comes from Christ. It's not from man. But he said, however, verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The greatest joy that should be for us is that our names are written in heaven. That this is our citizenship. This is someday our place of residence. Our names are written in heaven. How did this happen? Did you write it? No. God wrote it. And if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're trusting in his death on the cross, if you've asked for his forgiveness, if you've turned from your sin and you hate your sin, you want to follow Christ, if you've had that change of nature, then to realize that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Your names are written in heaven. And so the disciples must be warned not to be puffed up by whatever accomplishments. Those accomplishments are from the Lord, and we give him credit. And we're to rejoice in what God has done for us. We read this passage and just look at it as an overview. We need to realize and be certain that the kingdom of God is near. And as you've heard the gospel today, to understand the Lord is gathering a people for himself, and we're part of that work. We're to be at that work, and we're to view our work in the church as working in God's harvest field. Let's pray. Father in heaven, keep us from an earthly understanding of what we do. Lord, it's not out of our concern for ourselves. It's a concern for what you would have accomplished in your church. And we pray that whatever we offer in church in terms of our work, that we would always be thinking that we're offering it for you and for your glory and out of appreciation for what Christ has done. And we pray this in his name. Amen.